I'm Chris Sims.
And I'm Todd McKay.
This is the Canadian Taxpayers Podcast. We're dedicated to lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. In this episode, we'll take a deep dive into Charmaine Stick's fight for justice and transparency at the Onion Lake Cree Nation. And in Waste Watch, we'll tell you about the government of Quebec and how it's handing out a big severance bonus to some lobbyists who never even worked for the government.
But first, we've got a breaking news story here, and it's exclusive to our podcast. You're hearing it here first. Ottawa spent weeks refusing to say how much money it was spending on security for Meghan and Harry after they stepped away from their roles as the Duke and Duchess of Sussex and moved to Canada. Our investigative reporter, James Wood, obtained documents through access to information requests. They show the bill. It went up to more than $50,000 in less than 2 months. And that's just for additional expenses like meals and travel and hotels, all of those logistical considerations that the RCMP had to pay for. It doesn't include the actual salaries for the Mounties involved. If taxpayers hadn't put a stop to this, those extra expenses alone would have cost us more than $300,000 a year. If you add in the salary, the bills go way over that.
They certainly would. And in the documents, you can actually read what Bernadine Chapman, she's the commanding officer of the National Division with the RCMP, you can read what she said to some of her police colleagues in an email, and I'm quoting here. Media is on this like a hot potato, so lots of coverage of the potential of the royals to spend half their time in Canada now as a couple. We are having a greater conversation next week on the go forward on this. This has a potential to cost us huge! Exclamation point.
Cost us huge indeed. And yeah, the media was hot on this, red hot on this. And ultimately, the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, we were driving a lot of that media. Our federal director, Aaron Woodrick, he was doing interviews across Canada and around the world on this. He was quoted on the BBC and in the Washington Post. And while RCMP bigwigs were emailing each other that the security bill for Meghan and Harry would be huge, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau spent weeks just ducking the questions about it. Here's a clip of the line he repeated over and over whenever he was asked about this.
And we continue to be in discussions with the UK.
Now, it's important to point out that Meghan and Harry said right from the get-go that they wanted to be financially independent. Many Canadians were very happy to welcome this couple, but it really wouldn't be right to make taxpayers cover their bills. So this wasn't about them. This was about our own government.
Yeah, and that's why we aimed our petition at Prime Minister Trudeau, telling him don't blow taxpayers' money on a couple who doesn't need the help. More than 80,000 Canadians signed our petition on our website, taxpayer.com, and we delivered that petition right to the Prime Minister's office. Shortly after that, the government announced it wouldn't be using taxpayers' money to cover the bills for Meghan and Harry. And here's a clip of Aaron Woodrick talking about that on CBC's The National.
We're very pleased. It looks like they have read the public's mind on this. The public doesn't want money going to them, and they've acted accordingly.
It's a good thing we did. Ottawa was burning through thousands of dollars a month on security for one of the most famous and wealthy couples in Canada and really from around the world. The RCMP was clearly worried about burning through those resources and security on the couple. Meanwhile, our Prime Minister was waffling, but 80,000 of our supporters signed our petition and sent the government a clear message. There's no doubt that it did save taxpayers a lot of money.
And of course, since then, Harry and Meghan have left Canada, according to People magazine. It says that they've moved to Los Angeles. And they were welcomed by a pretty prominent American. United States President Donald Trump welcomed the celebrity couple on Twitter, as he's wont to do. But he also sent a pretty clear message of his own, saying, I quote, I'm a great friend and admirer of the Queen and the United Kingdom. It was reported that Harry and Meghan, who left the kingdom, will reside permanently in Canada. Now they have left Canada for the U.S. However, the U.S. will not pay their security protection. They must pay! Exclamation point. And you know what I find really interesting about that tweet? I think everybody agreed with it. Everybody just kind of like shrugged and nodded and said, yeah, that makes sense. That doesn't happen very often with this particular president's tweets. Any case, if you want to know more about this, check out taxpayer.com or we've got a link in the show notes. Check it all out.
Coming up next, we're going to take a deep dive about Charmaine Stick, a woman who's been fighting for years to bring accountability to her First Nations community. Stay with us. It's time for our deep dive. This is when we get deeper into really important issues. On Friday, lawyers for the Canadian Taxpayers Federation were making arguments in the Saskatchewan Court of Appeal. Todd, can you tell us what's happening?
You know, before we get into everything that's happening, the legal arguments, all of that, I think we need to meet the person at the middle of it. Check out this clip.
You and other council members and other people have been stealing our money. You guys were using it for your own good. And you kept using it all this time. You kept using all these millions. And you're telling your people there's no money here for you. And he said in Cree, go ahead and sit there and starve to death. You're starving yourself to death for nothing. You won't get anywhere with this.
So that was Charmaine Stick, and that clip came from a video that got more than a million views on social media. Charmaine is from Onion Lake Cree Nation on the Alberta-Saskatchewan border, and she went on a 13-day hunger strike to protest band leaders' lack of transparency. The person who told her to go ahead and starve was her own band's chief.
It's really upsetting and really infuriating to think that this chief told this young mother to just go and starve.
Yeah, that gets my blood pressure up. But there's some good news here. First of all, Charmaine is the toughest person I've ever met. She hasn't backed off an inch. She's continued to push her leaders every step. I'm pretty sure they're pretty tired of hearing from her, and they better brace themselves because she's not going anywhere. Second, we heard about Charmaine because of her hunger strike, because of that tough time. We heard about her, and ultimately the Canadian Taxpayers Federation has partnered up with her to push her campaign forward. And that's exactly why we were back in court on Friday.
So for our listeners, here's a little bit of background on this. So for decades, activists from First Nations communities across Canada have worked with Canadian Taxpayers Federation to expose waste that's happening at their band offices. That's their local government. We worked those activists to push the federal government to pass something called the First Nations Financial Transparency Act. Now, this legislation is really simple. First Nations are required to publish their annual financial statements and the salaries and expenses for their chief and council. It's a good news story because the overwhelming majority of First Nations provided the transparency.
Yeah, and like any other group of politicians, the documents showed that there's some good ones and there's some bad ones. So documents showed that Chief Ron Giesbrecht of the Kwikwetlem First Nation in BC took almost $1 million in 1 year from his band. And here's what Marvin Joe said. He was a band member and a counselor, and he talked to the National Post about it. And here's what he said, quote, the band membership knew nothing about this. And if it wasn't for this new Transparency Act, I don't think we ever would have known. But on the other hand, of course, there's lots of good politicians, lots of them that were disclosing their salaries. Lots of them were pretty reasonable. Some of them were zero. So there's the good and the bad. The point is there is transparency so that their people could hold them accountable.
Exactly. And the First Nations Financial Transparency Act provided a vital tool for grassroots band members to use to hold their leaders accountable. But when the Trudeau government took over, it actually stopped enforcing that legislation. In 2015, Crown Indigenous Relations Minister Carolyn Bennett released a statement that said, quote, the Government of Canada will suspend any court actions against First Nations who have not complied with the Act. She went on to say, quote, transparency and accountability are paramount to any government, whether it is municipal, provincial, federal, or First Nation. We will work in full partnership with First Nations leadership and organizations on the way forward to improve accountability and transparency, end quote. Ottawa stopped enforcing the Act, but it's done absolutely nothing to improve the transparency. It was a big blow, but again, there is some good news. Even though Ottawa stopped doing its job, most First Nations kept on providing this transparency.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a lot of things. If you don't have speed limits on the roads, most people will still drive pretty sensibly, but there'll always be those few who have to push things. Mm-hmm. And there have been a few bands that have refused to open their books, including the Onion-Lake Cree Nation. So we teamed up with Charmaine to take her leaders to court. And Ottawa knew exactly what was going on. It's not like any of this was catching them off guard. Here's an exchange between Conservative MP Kathy McLeod and Minister Bennett.
Mr. Speaker, Charmaine Stick is a courageous band member from the Onion Lake Cree Nation. When she heard about financial trouble with the bands, she demanded answers from her leadership. They refused. She went on a 13-day hunger strike. She's now going to court to force the disclosure of salaries, expenses, and financial statements. Does the Indigenous Affairs Minister realize that by failing to enforce the Financial Transparency Act, she is complicit in hiding this information? Why is the Minister forcing band members to go to court for basic information?
Minister of Indigenous and Northern Affairs.
Everyone, including First Nations governments, want increased transparency and accountability. However, we will only achieve this by working in full partnership with First Nations leadership and organizations. With regard to the specific situation, I've asked my department to look into it and report back to me.
You know, you can tell from that clip that obviously Ottawa had no intention of doing anything about this. And that's why we partnered up with Charmaine and went to court. If the federal government won't enforce transparency, then we will. And this has to be really one of my favorite things about working at the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. We cover all of Charmaine's legal bills. It hasn't been cheap, even though our lawyers have been great about keeping a handle on costs. But thousands of our supporters from across Canada have chipped in to help with the costs. And you know, they're not doing it because they want to stick it to a bad politician, although that could be part of the reason. But the main reason is our supporters have stepped up because they feel Charmaine is their neighbor. They're standing with her to do the right thing. Hundreds of them have even sent notes of encouragement. I've actually found handwritten notes in our mailbox here at the Taxpayers Federation from some of our senior citizens across Canada, really encouraging this woman to do the right thing and supporting her.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to see people stepping up to help a neighbor like Charmaine, even though they haven't ever met her. And the best part is we won. The Court of Queen's Bench ruled that Charmaine has the right to see the books published and that the band has to follow the law. The band appealed and we won again.
The band finally did publish 2 years' worth of books. They show that the band had lost more than $1 million on a questionable tech investment in New Zealand. And it also showed that the chief had gotten a big raise. They went from $120,000 up to $150,000 without making any of that public. So it's frustrating to see waste in a community that struggles with poverty. But that win is a happy ending because it did validate Charmaine's struggle.
Unfortunately, it didn't end with that happy ending, though. So Charmaine went back the next year to get the next year's books. And the band office, folks there just told her, nope, you can't have those books. And they told her to call her lawyer. So she did. And we went back to court again. The Court of Queen's Bench held the band in contempt of court. The judge there was pretty unhappy with the band, kind of threw the book at them, levied a fine, even though we didn't ask her to do that. She really let them have it. Now, Onion Lake Cree Nation appealed again. So the Saskatchewan Appeal Court heard that appeal on Friday. The band said that the original ruling really only meant that it had to open the books for two specific years. Our lawyer argued, no, you have to follow the law all the time, and you have to respect Charmaine's natural right to see what's happening with her community's money.
How did it go during court?
Well, it's kind of weird. Usually we're in court watching in person, but this time we had to watch online. It was the only way to do it. It was really fascinating. The judges asked a ton of tough questions on both sides. Obviously, I'm pretty biased, but I'm pretty sure I could see the lawyers on the other side sweating pretty hard. So I'm pretty confident in our case. I mean, the reality is Charmaine has the right to see these financial documents published in her community, just like everybody else. All of us can see how City Hall spends our money. Charmaine and her community, they have exactly the same right. So now we'll wait for the ruling. You know, we're going to bring Charmaine on the show one of these times. You folks are going to meet her because she's fun to talk to. Obviously, technically, sometimes that's a little tough to set up, but we're going to get that worked on at some point. But today, I want to leave you with a comment that she made. Here's what she said at a press conference when she delivered thousands of our petition signatures supporting the First Nations Financial Transparency Act. Right to the Prime Minister's office.
I believe that in all structures of government, there needs to be accountability and transparency
Otherwise, you don't have a foot to stand on if you don't have accountability and transparency.
Hi, I'm Scott Hennig, president of the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. Sorry for interrupting the podcast, but I wanted to take a few seconds of your time to tell you more about the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. We are 235,000 Canadians from coast to coast that are fed up. We are fed up with politicians taking too much out of our paychecks, often to waste it on a bunch of pet projects, corporate welfare, and pork barreling to buy votes. We organize campaigns to push back on these politicians. These campaigns often include petition drives, billboards, media stunts, and more. But most importantly, they ask our supporters to pitch in and take action. Alone, we're a voice in the wilderness. Together, we're an army to be reckoned with. You can join the fight and sign up at no cost at taxpayer.com. That website again is taxpayer.com. Okay, now back to the podcast.
It's time for Waste Watch. This is when we make fun of the dumb things that governments are spending your money on. Joining me now is my friend and colleague, Renaud Brossard from Quebec. Renaud, what do you have for us today?
I've got something so dumb and so infuriating, you won't believe it. So there are these two lobbyists in Quebec who are leaving their jobs, and they managed to negotiate a deal so that the Quebec government will be paying for their severance packages.
Okay, but they're lobbyists. That doesn't sound like it makes sense. Lobbyists exist to push governments to do things they want. Why would the government be paying for them to do that? At that point, if you think about it, they wouldn't really be lobbyists. They'd be contractors or employees. So why would the government pay the severance bills for people who didn't work for the government? That would be like me getting up in the morning and instead of walking my dog, I go walk the neighbor's dog.
It is a baffling story, but there's one thing you gotta admit. They gotta be pretty good lobbyists if they manage to convince the government to pay for their severance. But yeah, it's these two career lobbyists, Florie Duca and Heidi Rajan, and they're both co-directors of the Quebec Coalition for Tobacco Control. And as co-directors of that coalition, they've held a number of positions in a number of anti-tobacco groups for the last decade. But a little bit earlier this week, the newspaper Journal de Quebec has found out that they're both set to get severance packages paid for by us, the taxpayers.
Okay, but this is the confusing part, I think. Like, I've read this story myself a couple times and I'm still confused. These folks are lobbyists, but they didn't work for the government. Like, not at all?
No, never. Or at the very least, not for well over a decade, if they ever did.
Okay.
Which is why it surprised a journalist when he found out that Quebec's National Public Health Director, Dr. Horacio Arruda, signed a letter saying the government will cover those severance payments. And that is on top of the usual subsidy that the government sends to these organizations. It is so unusual, in fact, that there's a tenured professor from Quebec's National School for Public Administration that is school training all those government bureaucrats that are supposed to be managing the things in the government. Well, that professor was so stunned by this revelation that she said it requires further explanation. She could not understand it.
That's saying the least. It certainly does require explanation. This is so odd. It's sketchy at best. But do we know how much is being offered here for their severance packages? Like, how much money are we talking about?
Sketchy doesn't even begin to describe it. And now, according to the journal, the officials in the health department have not answered that question. And while they admit that they would be covering the severance, they remain coy about answering any other question. The numbers we do know, thanks to this news report, is that a group they were working for, Addiction Workers of Quebec, received $480,000 in taxpayer subsidies last year. And while there is something highly questionable in the government funding a lobby group to further lobby it, I cannot find any good reason whatsoever why taxpayers should be on the hook for severance payments to those lobbyists. And it doesn't help that Rajan and Duca sent a bunch of emails to public health bureaucrats, giving them tips as to how they can avoid responding to access to information requests concerning their links to the government. You know, as they say, where there's no smoke, there's no fire. But if you're trying so hard to hide that there's smoke, it looks pretty darn suspicious.
It does. And that really crosses the line. Giving tips on how to avoid access to information, those laws exist. so that citizens, so that taxpayers can hold governments accountable. They exist across Canada in different forms. Here in BC, they're called Freedom of Information, or FOI. In Ottawa, federally, they're called ATIPs, Access to Information. Governments are already really murky. They're opaque. And the last thing we need is a bunch of lobbyists helping bureaucrats keep us all in the dark. But in this case, it's important for taxpayers in Quebec to be able to find out exactly what happened here. And most importantly, how much of their money these two people, as part of their severance packages, are set to get. You know, it's super weird already that taxpayers in Quebec are paying for a lobby group to then lobby back to their own government. It's really like a feedback loop of waste.
It really is. And, you know, usually for Waste Watch, we try to find something at least a little bit funny. Oh, definitely wasteful, but funny. In this case, it is just infuriating.
Thanks for listening to the Canadian Taxpayers Podcast. We hope you like the show.
And thanks to James Wood for editing the podcast and also breaking this huge story. The Prime Minister wouldn't tell Canadians how much we spent on Meghan and Harry's security. James Wood dug that up, so good on him. For all of you, thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe, like, share our show. Make sure you subscribe to it. Don't just listen. Be a subscriber. And talk to you again soon.
Hi, I'm Scott Hennig, president of the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. If you've got another minute, I'd like to ask you to think about the one person you know that would really enjoy listening to this podcast. Do us a favor and do them a favor and send them a quick note to let them know about it. At the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, we believe there is power in numbers. That's why we've worked so hard to build an army of taxpayers who are ready to push back. And we did it because people like you shared our work with that one person that they knew would really appreciate taking part. Thanks for listening, and thanks for doing your part to make Canada a better place.